Hey, gang, let's face it. You're probably listening to this show on your phone. You're probably listening to all your favorite shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone with all your podcasts and your music? Well, you stream your movies on the Netflix. You stream your music on the Spotify and Pandora. Why not stream your podcasts? Try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream over 5,000 of your favorite shows right to your smartphone or pad. Download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. Got a great show for you guys today. Ulrik Ellison from Ulrik Ellison and Tribe is here. They just put out a new album called Dream Chaser. Just got back from a European tour and are just about to kick off a tour in the Midwest next week, June 10th to June 19th, playing every day. So their European tour, they did like 21 shows in six countries. We have a great conversation. This is the second time Ulrik was on the show, and their album Dream Chaser is only available at their shows and at ulrikellison.com online. We talk about this. He wants you to join the tribe that he is creating throughout the entire world, including Poland. Okay, so we'll get to that conversation in just a minute. Let me tell you what's going on with me. I've had a great week. I got to go to Mark Prock's book signing party on Tuesday at Shady Grove here in Austin. It was a who's who of Austin music. Fantastic time. And then I went to dinner at Miles Zuniga, made me dinner. I went to his house and we had dinner. And then we went to the Continental Club and saw Alejandro Escovedo. I got to hang out with the Masterson, see my old friend Jeremy Nail from Liars and Saints, and find out that he is making a record this weekend that is going to be produced by Alejandro Escovedo. I'm very much looking forward to it. We need to get him on the show. I don't know if you know about Jeremy. Jeremy and I were in this band Liars and Saints together. And when I was starting this podcast, I was working on it and trying to get it together and figure out how I was going to do it. So I invited him over one day swimming. And right before we went swimming, I said, hey, Jeremy, can I interview you? And so I did, and I was terrible at it, and I never put it out. But we've still never done one. So anyway, Jeremy and I are great friends. We've written tons of songs together. We were in Liars and Saints together. I'm going to drop by the studio this weekend and check it out. And I'm very happy for him. So glad that he's doing this record with Alejandro, and I'm looking forward to hearing it. Okay, so I did that. I also shot a cooking show with AJ Vallejo, which you can find on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. It's up there. We made lobster rolls. We went to Record Store Day. There's a lot of stuff going on in this video. We lip sync. I use a banana as a phone. There's all kinds of things happening. So go to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Look it up. AJ's one of my best friends. We have a great time. Speaking of AJ, his twin brother, Alex, who is also in the band Vallejo with AJ Vallejo, He's also works over at the Austin Music Foundation, and he and Jen stopped by yesterday, and we sat down and had a quick talk about what's going on with the Austin Music Foundation and how it helps the music community, and not just the musicians, but also the small businesses that are involved in the music industry. So let's talk to Alex and Jen from the Austin Music Foundation, find out what's going on with them, and then we'll talk to Ulrik Ellison. Let's talk to Alex and Jen. The census that came out this week, this mm-hmm. was a study of all of Austin's music industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Needs assessment. So, you know.
They did send out a census. What was it, like last year, right? The end of last year sometime? A few months ago?
Yeah, but it wasn't as in-depth as this one was. I don't know. I think this is the first one of its kind that Nikki Rowling put together with Titan Music Group. And, I mean, it was, this is the first one of any city that's ever done something like this.
So. And it's commissioned by the ATX Music Office, you know, so they put a lot of work into mm-hmm. kind of polling musicians, music industry professionals, venues, business, uh-huh. you know, businesses.
To
find out, you know,
where we're at.
Yeah, where we're at. Well, and what are the needs of the community, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think you really need a census to find out what the needs of the community are? Are you guys working at the Austin Music Foundation dealing with both industry,
the clubs, the local musicians, the whole thing that's going on here. Can't they just come to you guys and ask you and save some money and time?
That's a good question. And we do talk a lot, you know, where there's a lot of collaboration with, you know, the ATX Music Office and other nonprofits. But I think this will help us to better identify, you know, and assess really like what the challenges are here. Mm-hmm. So we're hearing from musicians, industry professionals, venue owners, all of these guys, they're telling us, this is their voice saying, you know, the challenges that we're facing are affordability,
housing.
Of course, stagnating pay, you know, that was a huge one. So the thing is, then what do we do about it, right? So we have this information.
And it was to your point, it was a lot of stuff, like Jen and I were sitting there, like it was a lot of stuff that we already kind of are very aware of, you know, but other folks aren't, you know what I mean? So we see it day in and day out. We're talking to the musicians. She's working on the programs with all these guys. So, you know, I think it was maybe it was good for us as well because, you know, there was a lot of things we learned that might have slipped through the cracks. But, I mean, I think it's good for other folks that don't see the day-to-day thing that is going on. And it was just good for the whole city. So to answer your question, I think it was just, you know, it is a good thing to just kind of go, hey, here's kind of some of the problems we need to kind of address. And, you know, I think for us, what we would like to do is definitely kind of put these things into motion and actually see, you know, I think we're already doing some of this stuff at AMF, but, I mean, I think it was a good thing for sure.
Right.
Well, yeah.
No, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Johnny. Well, so, you know, and I was going to say too, I mean, some of, you know, the key findings that, you know, they kind of show us that musicians want to know more about the resources. Maybe there's not enough awareness. Mm-hmm. And so I think about AMF and kind of what we're doing. And back in February, you know, we had our first annual music industry expo where we, you know, we invited, over all a dozen music support nonprofits.
I went.
Yes, I went to it.
It
was
there.
It's great.
Yeah, that was a great
it was called,
thing.
It was called Feel the Love.
And, Feel the Love.
And, yeah, and you could feel the love.
And that, and you could, right? I mean, there was a lot of hugging.
Yeah, there was a lot of hugging.
going on. But, you know, so it was just a great networking event, and it brought folks together, and it gave those music support organizations a platform to tell folks about the services that are
available to them. You guys actually are launching your fourth annual industry collaborative, which is, explain that to us, Jen.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So the Music Industry Collaborative, you know, it was designed to really help music business entrepreneurs in their careers. You know, we encourage peer-to-peer assistance, and it helps music business entrepreneurs obtain focused and meaningful dialogue with real-life mentors in a structured small group setting. So, you know, it's a six-month program and an applicant-based mentoring program. So,
there's not only like mentoring for musicians and stuff. There's also like industry, a lot of like local music industry involvement that you guys have. And a lot of the goal of the Austin Music Foundation is to bring together the industry and the music
community.
People.
The community. I mean, it's about making Austin better and keeping it, you know, the cool music city that it is. I mean, because Austin is obviously, it's no secret that it's changing with all the development and, you know, you've seen the clubs closing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is a very, I think it's all these programs are very big part of like kind of, it's a very communal thing, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And what I like is that you guys are on the forefront of adapting to this new thing. Like you're now partnering with the Wind Down shows at the ACL Live Moody Theater, and then also doing the music out at the Circuit of the Americas for like the side stage to match the bigger bands, to put in a local band that would match with them that, you know, maybe people won't get out to see.
Yeah, and giving them good opportunities. I mean, it's about, you know, opening doors and giving these artists opportunities, as well as the businesses and the venues to get together. And, you know, and with these programs that Jen, you know, manages, like the Liam and the Mike programs, I mean, those are all very important people. I mean, you should see some of the people that, you know, she brings together in this room. It's people from Transmission, C3. I mean, it's the superpowers of Austin, like all getting in a room and talking about, you know, about the community. And it's just, it's a really, I think it's a healthy thing, a conversation to have, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you guys find that it's the main problem that people are coming to you with is it's hard to get people out and involved in shows? Do you feel like that's like the main, I mean, it kind of seems like it's always mm-hmm. been the main complaint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like as this new Austin is coming in, and we know from 20 years ago, well, we all know, but like firsthand from 20 years ago, how much support like local mm-hmm. radio was able to give yeah. the local bands mm-hmm. and how important a Vallejo mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. to have at your thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, because yeah. it almost built like these careers where it was its own self-contained mm-hmm. music world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But now, with all the influx of new people that aren't trained in that sort of thing, mm-hmm. it's made radio not be able to be as supportive.
Well, they can't. I mean, if they play a local band, they'll get fired.
Yeah.
You know, to where KLBJ was very instrumental, 101X, KGSR, all these stations.
All of them, yeah.
They essentially made us all like local, like little mini stars, and you as well.
Yeah.
They would play your song, and people would start following you. And I mean, the radio part was a huge part of it. And then we had Emmy Television, and so there was a video platform that people could see the bands. So, I mean, it is definitely different, you know, for sure. You know?
It's different, and it's changed a lot. So what do you advise to bands? Like, do you say, like, hey, think outside the box? The problem mm-hmm. is I wish you could get 50,000 people to come see you play every mm-hmm. Wednesday because you're going to play your acoustic guitar by yourself. But unfortunately, they have so many options now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you don't tell them to light themselves on fire when they play.
No, I don't.
But I'm, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's all about just, you know, being clever, you know, working hard. You know, there are new platforms like social media that we didn't have, you know, back in the day. So, I mean, I think that you could still make a noise. Obviously, there's so many bands. Everybody can go produce, you know, make a record in their bedroom now and put it on CD Baby and have it on iTunes. So, but I mean, I think really it's just to be clever. How can you be out clever the other guys?
They can even have cooking shows and talk shows if they want.
Yeah, they can. They can make talk shows in their house
next to the studio where they film the cooking shows.
Yeah, no. So I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, they have to be savvy and treat their, you know, careers like it's a business, you know, mm-hmm. you're a small business entrepreneur as a musician, you mm-hmm. know, so you have to really educate yourself on all facets of the music industry. And I think, you
all
know,
all facets.
All, yeah.
And I we mean, live in promotions. A time now where you're not just trying to get a record deal and some manager is going to tell you to wake up and then you're going to, you know, ride in your limousine over to this thing
no.
and naked ladies are going to wait for you there. It's not like that anymore.
It doesn't
You're like the
that
manager,
way.
The booking agent, the publicist.
That's right.
You're running a whole business.
That's mm-hmm. right. And yeah. you have to understand, you know, the changing landscape, stay on top of that, you know, adapt to it. And, mm-hmm. you know, there are so many other streams of revenue out there too. But what we find at the Creative Media Center when we're talking to bands is that, you know, they're so focused on gigging. That's the money opportunity right there. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're trying to kind of educate them on, you know, other streams of revenue like publishing and licensing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just had a comprehensive workshop on
it was amazing.
On that, yeah, mm-hmm. that covered copyright, performance rights, and streams of revenue.
And so when people want to find out when you're doing these things, they can just go to austinmusicfoundation.org, look yes. at your events calendar, find sure. something that they're looking for.
Yeah. Or you, sign up for the newsletter. I mean, we send out newsletters. We, yeah. you know, get involved, you know, like us on Facebook and
yeah.
all these
follow,
things.
Just follow to, on
just
Twitter.
Stay in touch, you know. Yeah, yeah. Right. yeah. Hit us up on MySpace. You know?
Yeah.
Right. We put all of our events up on our website.
Well, and then also, I mean, there is a culture. I think people are a little more savvy now that, mm-hmm. you know, it's good to get out there and mm-hmm. be a part of your community. Because a lot of times people are sitting at home going like, oh, why isn't anybody wanting me to do this? And then you're like, well, because no one knows you're here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. yeah.
No one's seeing you.
That's yeah, right.
totally.
No one's hearing from you.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I'm, you know, I'd probably be a bad guy for saying this, but I think some bands are kind of lazy. And I think that it's
I think
more
a lot
about,
of bands are
yeah,
lazy.
About, you know, they just expect that bands are, they're going to book a show and come. And I don't think, I watch bands at shows and they're just not, you know, they take their gear off the stage and go grab a beer and then take off. I mean, like, they're not talking to anybody in the venue. So, I mean, I think it's also bands need to do a better job of engaging, you know, their fan base and, you know, hey, come back. Thank you for coming. You know, here's a sticker.
Yeah.
Here's something, you know. So, I mean, like, I think
it's just more work
lazy.
Now.
Yeah.
Like, the days of, like, you know, surfing on a thing of money at the Black Cat are are gone.
Yeah. Yeah. The market's oversaturated.
You got to work really, really hard.
Yeah. That's right.
And I don't think that's so bad. I mean, I was having a conversation with your brother, and I was telling him, I was like, you know, this is weird to say and horrible to say, but like with the ability of everybody to do everything, but the fact that now it's harder to get people to care, I think that weeds out the people that aren't really in it because their heart's in it. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Right.
Because now you really got to want to do it to do it.
Sure.
Yeah, you do. And it, like she said, it was, it's kind of part. Are you a hobbyist or are you in this for real? I mean,
right.
And it's, it is, serious, it is hard. And, but you know, there's also still a lot of great opportunities. There's potential to make money. I mean, that's one thing at Awesome Music Foundation that, you know, we not only want them to have, you know, better careers, but we want to put money, we want to help them put money in their pockets. And obviously more people at your shows is more money, more merch, more, you know, I mean, that's kind of like the driving goal for us over there is to, you know, how can we empower them and give them some different ideas to go make some money, like she was saying. Like, there's these, some of these guys just have blinders on, and they're just like, "I'm going to go play at Hotel Vegas," and you know,
it's all going to happen.
That's it, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, and you know, we're so fortunate to live in a city that supports its musicians, but the reality is, the music industry as a whole is not so welcoming, you know, and so. I think, you know, it'll chew you up and spit you out. Yes. Alex knows that.
That's happened about 5 times with us.
Yeah, so. And so, you know, it's just we want to arm these musicians with the knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, empower them. But get out there and do it yourself, too. You know?
Yeah, make your business worth it.
Yeah. And Jen knows because she manages bands. So, she, you know, she sees the other side of it as well. And, you know, I mean, it's very easy to kind of like, that's what's cool about having both of us there. It's like, here's the artist, here's the manager. And I mean, it's just, it's a good kind of yin and yang, you know, as far as like in our little space to kind of get both sides of the story, you know?
When people book a mentoring session, do they come in and talk to just either of you guys?
Or they have. Alex is, you know,
he's our third person.
He's our resident artist whisperer. That's what I call him. But yeah, no, he's the guy. You know, you go to our webpage, our landing page, and you can book a consultation there. It's all automated. But right now, Alex is, you know, he's been meeting with bands. And then we'll have, you know, what's called our signature series, or that's running right now, where we have guest consultants come in.
And Tommy Blank from Quiet Company is the one on deck now. And
I like Tommy.
Tommy's great. And then obviously we're going to have Susanna Schaffel, and then we're going to have a few other artists. And all those you can find on our website as well. Mm-hmm. We, you know, every month we're going to announce a different person. We have, you know, Chaka from Riders Against the Storm. If, you know, some of the hip-hop guys want to talk hip-hop, you know, biz and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, every month we're going to feature somebody different to get a different perspective. But, you know, to answer your question, sometimes, you know, I'm like, you need to talk to Jen.
I'm mostly focused on the programs, but I do, you know, I'll meet with folks sometimes, and I really enjoy that, you know. It kind of keeps me connected.
Well, I like that you guys bring the economic, you know, business industry in with the musicians to sort of like break down those walls so that people can work together and money can flow freely through our community.
Right.
It's
definitely, it's definitely important, you know, and I mean, and that's, once again, it's just about building, you know, our community and keeping it musical, you know, with all the changes. And, you know, everybody's going to bitch and moan and complain about, oh, this club's shutting down. But, dude, that's been happening. Liberty Lunch, I mean, how long is that? That's been happening since we've been here. You know, so we just kind of have to roll with the punches and kind of adapt to changes. And, I mean, Austin, you know, for better or for worse, is still cooler than Birmingham, Alabama.
I just lost 8 listeners.
Musically,
I just lost all my listeners. No, I'm joking.
All your listeners in Birmingham, I'm sorry.
So, musicians... people in the music industry, if you aren't yet familiar with Austin Music Foundation or you haven't presented yourself to them, go to austinmusicfoundation.org, set up a consultation, get in there, meet with these guys, go to a mixer, go to a panel, go to Wind Down Wednesdays, or Wind Down, sorry.
Tuesdays.
Wind Down Tuesdays.
I think it was Wednesday.
It was, right?
Maybe,
okay.
Before.
Okay, they're on Tuesdays. Just look it up. Just go to austinmusicfoundation.org. You can find out everything. You can book a consultation. Thank you so much, Jen and Alex.
Thanks,
for
Johnny.
The service that you provide to our community, but also for coming over to my house.
Oh, thank
awesome.
You,
thank you, man.
All right.
Alex and Jen from the Austin Music Foundation. We're going to be doing some stuff with them, like once a month, kind of checking in and doing a show with their Artist of the Month. So great talking to them, and great getting to learn about them. It's a great resource that we have in Austin that most cities don't have. So if you're not even from here, you know, maybe you got something out of it. Maybe you can go to your city and go like, hey, we got this Austin Music Foundation, this nonprofit, helps the Austin music industry and the Austin musicians get together and make the economy work for us, all of the people involved in it, all right? Thanks to Alex and Jem for stopping by. That was a weird way of talking. Sorry about that. Let's talk to Ulrich Ellison. He's about to start his tour behind his album Dream Chaser. His band Ulrich Ellison and Tribe leave for tour June 10th. That's next week. They started out in Springfield, Missouri. They'll be out for a couple of weeks. You can find out where they will be, and you can buy their album Dream Chaser exclusively at ulrichellison.com. All right? Go check it out. This is Ulrich's second time on the show. We have a great conversation. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Love to all of you. Let's get down.
What are you doing, Austin?
So were you just at a party in Fort Worth last night, or were you playing it?
No, I was at a party.
You were just at a party.
Yeah, and it was a party of an Austrian, so the party went till 4:30 in the morning.
And so were you, when did you get back today?
No, the party was actually on Sunday. I'm confused with all the Memorial Day and stuff. So the party was on Sunday, and then we stayed there over Monday.
Right.
And then, because it was raining so hard,
right,
we didn't leave before 5 p.m. or something.
Oh, okay.
So we got in, like, you know, at 9 p.m. last night.
All right.
Yeah.
So you missed all of the craziness.
Yeah, yeah.
But all your stuff is safe and you're...
It's all dry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, is Joel Duhon playing the drums in your band?
He sure is.
I like
yeah.
that guy. Whenever his name, I don't even know why, but whenever I think of him, I think pleasant and nice things because I like him for some reason.
We call him Smiles a lot.
Yes, he's a nice guy, right?
He is.
A real nice guy.
He's very genuine and very, you know, childlike passion. I mean, I've never seen anybody that into something.
You need someone like that when you're like a month in Europe.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? And on the road, you need a guy like that.
Even if you just play one date, I think you need someone like that. Somebody that puts a smile on your face.
Yeah, someone's happy to be there.
Yeah.
It's not a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You're happy to be there.
I'm very happy.
Like you're happy to be there.
Well, both me and Sabine are happy people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he just kind of feeds on our happiness and it's just a happy tribe.
He brings
tribe.
His own happiness. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the deal with the tribe? You have a whole explanation of the tribe on your website. How people can join the tribe. It's not just the band. The tribe are the people that come and support you. Or not even support you, but come and be part of what you're doing.
Exactly. The whole thing was kind of created when I did 2012. I recorded an album called Lose Yourself, which was the first...
So you were on here then?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
It was the first real personal songwriting album that I did.
Right.
And so in that process, you know, we did a Kickstarter campaign. And in that process, it just made me realize really hard that by myself, I'm nothing. You know, if there's no people that are interested in my music or that lift me up and also support me doing it, you know, I can sit around and wait for a record label or wait for something to drop in my lap. But other than that, you know, I realized that there's people that care about my music, about me and Sabine, and that they're kind of part of an extended family.
Yeah.
And that's where the whole idea of the tribe just happened.
And that happens, too, when you move from a place like Austria to Austin. You need some kind of support. You're miles away from your family, your blood family.
Mm-hmm.
You need a tribe.
That's true.
Be with your people.
But you know, even if you're born here in Austin, it's not such a big difference. It's maybe easier to get that perspective when you're from far away. You know, we traveled far. You know that you have nothing else. But when you hear from Austin, you know, you already have your tribe. You maybe don't even know it or realize it. And sometimes it feels, you know, we're all fighting our own good fight, or, you know, everybody wants to further his career and his music and so, and we're, and Austin is
a chasing their dream.
Chasing the dream, yeah.
Yeah, which and, brings us, yeah, no, go ahead.
And it's a community, you know, Austin, you can feel the community, but still, I think we have to remind ourselves regularly that without the guy next to us, we are nothing. You know, if the guy next to us doesn't get the gigs or doesn't go on tour, that makes it much harder for us to do it.
Yeah, that's a good way.
And that whole tribal approach, you know, it's just, it actually has affected the music too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're, why is it called, it's Ulrich Ellison and Tribe, not The Tribe? Was it before? It was The Tribe.
No, it was always, well, first it was Ulrich Ellison.
Yeah.
Trio, Network, Ulrich, or whatever. Yeah.
Like Network.
Yeah.
Did you have it?
Yeah.
The Ulrich Ellison Network?
Abra Moore was in,
oh,
in
that's
the Network
cool.
band. Yeah.
What did she do? Sing?
She would sing. She would play percussion, play accordion.
She's a brilliant musician. Where is she now?
Oh, she's here in Austin. Yeah.
Okay. I don't ever see her.
She, you know, once in a while she plays, but very low key kind of. And
I have a genuine love for her. I like her.
Yeah.
It's like Joel Dihon. I feel good when I think about them.
Well, she has a very, very strong, her vibe, you know, her aura is just...
It's very Hawaiian. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's got, it's a very loving and like, hey, man, you know, how you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it, you know, when you're on the phone with her, the way she says bye.
How does she say bye?
Bye. Bye. She's like... Very, so loving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you have a new album out called Dream Chaser. Ulrich Ellison and Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
The new album, Dream Chaser, it's out.
It's, it came out April 9th.
April 9th.
When we played the first European show.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, how did it go in Europe?
It was the biggest tour we ever planned.
Yeah.
And it all came out great, you know.
I saw some video you posted today on your Facebook of Poland.
Oh, yeah.
What a crowd, man.
Right, yeah.
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 Freaking out. So people were, hey, what's that weird guitar you play with the... What is that? That is weird, man.
It's a guy in Austria. Built
those. Looks medieval.
Yeah, yeah. He has built like 200 of those.
Yeah.
And it's just a crazy guitar. It has a long scale, like a bass.
Oh, okay.
So... You need to like spread your fingers to just play the regular stuff. You need to spread like crazy. And yeah, it has a unique sound because of that. And I mainly use it to bow.
Right.
To use a bow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And make it sound like a cello. And because of the long string, that works really well.
You like a bow more because it's easier to control than, say, an e-bow?
It's a whole different thing.
It is a whole different thing.
It's, you know, it's primal. It's tribal.
Yeah.
I mean, an e-bow, you know.
Yeah.
But just, I mean, just the look of it. And first, you know, I started out doing it more for the look.
Yeah.
I did it on a regular Strat, and you can't really play properly.
No.
As
what did Jimmy Page use in Les Paul?
I think he did, yeah. But even that, I mean, he couldn't play it properly. He was just hitting on it.
Yeah. He did. He was definitely doing a visual effect.
But now with that special guitar, it has like a different, like the body of the guitar is arched a little more. The strings are not arched, but the body is arched.
So you can get in there.
So you can access the string much better. And on the low E string, I can play beautifully. So.
I don't remember. Do you play violin?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But my mom did, and yeah.
Okay, so you went there, you played six different countries?
Yes. We traveled about 5,000 miles.
Jesus.
Most of the gigs were in Germany. We were like zigzagging back and forth with Germany. And then we went to Switzerland, Italy, Poland, Czech Republic, and Austria.
Yeah, all of those places. What is it that they're responding to there? Is it the music that you're playing is pretty American?
Yeah.
I mean, it's blues rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you say it
that's
is?
That's the main trait, you know? I mean, people know Austin. People love American music.
But they don't say, here's one of our guys that went there and is an Austin guy now and is coming back, still has his accent and like...
In Austria, it happens like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in Poland, they wouldn't know if I have an accent or not because nobody speaks English. Yeah. But I have to say, you know... But the thing is, you know, it makes it kind of a special situation because I really know the European culture. So I respond differently. Like when they get excited or so, you know, I feel them differently than
an American,
like you would, okay. You know, for you would be even more alien or.
Right.
And so for me, it's kind of like this mix, you know, I speak like the American language and American music language.
Yeah.
And then I bring it back to the European culture, and it's almost like being an ambassador or...
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. So tell me about Dream Chaser. You recorded it here?
Yeah, we recorded it in our rehearsal space.
No shit, it sounds great.
Oh, thank you. Thank
How
you.
Did you record it?
Are
you
I recorded it, and then I mixed it. It was just a wonderful process of how... All that came together.
Tell me, like, what is your rehearsal space? What are you at space or are you at?
It's at the band co-op in okay. North Austin, uh-huh. And it's a pretty crappy looking space, 400 square feet room.
Yeah.
And we already did the last record there.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, I have a recording background. I mean, I did a master's right. in music production. So, in the meantime, I kind of just have a knack for using. Crappy gear to make good sounds.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is when you're in the rehearsal space, you forget that you're in the studio because you're just playing at some point. We did three days of rehearsals and already recorded those and then 2 days of tracking. So it was kind of like a seamless process.
Right.
And I liked that much better than being in the studio and you see the clock and in my case, you know, I know I'm paying for
time
everything.
Time is coming. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that doesn't put me in the artist mindset.
No, and it is nice to be able to stretch out. I mean, that's what I do here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can work on it, and when it's not happening, you're not forcing anything.
You know, it's like that, but you get a lot of stuff done. I mean, we recorded 17 tracks in 2 days. So it's not like you just space out and it takes you forever to get it done. It's actually more efficient, I think. When you're not in the, when you look at the clock sometimes, you know, you just screw up all the time.
Yeah.
You're just in a, you're more in a, like, let's get this right kind of mode. And I hate that mode when playing music.
Right.
Yeah.
So when did Joel join the band? Because he didn't play on the record.
He joined.
I'm very concerned about Joel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he joined just before we.
The tour?
Before the tour. And, our drummer for 2.5 years that's on the album, too. He just joined a cover band, and they made him sign a contract.
Whoa.
That didn't allow him to book any long-term gigs, you know, that he could really commit to any other shows.
Oh, okay, so he couldn't go on a tour because he would have to get a sub, and that would take him... Is it like the Spasmatics or something?
No, it's... it's a combination of different bands, but Greg Williams...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He has like
the live
that guy.
Band karaoke, you know, and all kinds of stuff.
You know, when those kind of stuff, you know, it's hard to get out there and it's hard to make money.
Yeah.
Getting out there and touring.
Right.
And when you get like a product and you're like, okay, I'm going to have this thing, it's going to happen every week. You got to kind of, you know what I mean? I mean, it sounds kind of crappy that has to happen, but at least your guy now has a gig that's pretty steady.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, there's certain times in the year where it's just very few gigs. And it happened exactly like in January when he decided to, you know,
it's
I
January
totally.
January and August for some reason.
I sympathize,
are really terrible.
You know, I would sign that contract too.
Yeah. Do they need a guitar player?
But, you know, it's just, Joel is just significantly older and has seen the world, has traveled and everything. So he's just in a position where. All that stuff doesn't matter. Like money doesn't matter too much to him because
he's at the age where he wants to have a good time doing it.
Yeah,
wants a quality of life that
he wants to move something. You know, he wants to be part of.
Yeah. How do you feel?
Purpose.
How do you feel when you're playing over there? I talk to a lot of people that get over to Europe, and do you feel like your shows the response is a lot? More there's more of a response from the crowd than here, and it's easier to get people out there than it is here.
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
What is that about the culture that you think is different that is conducive to getting people out there and not as much here?
I think the people go out to see live music, they're usually better informed. They know more about music. Lots of them, you know, they read books. Even if they come to my show,
right,
and they might never have seen me before, they go to my website and read my story. They check out videos. Probably check out videos first, and if they don't like it, they don't come to the show.
Right.
They inform themselves, but usually, you know, it's maybe they pay like 20 euros to see the show, so they might have to do with it. There's just a higher value on the music and
right.
on the artistry.
You're not in the corner at a sports bar playing for no cover there.
Exactly.
As much as you would be.
And
here.
And the guy couldn't care less.
They won't turn the TVs off. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And over there, you know, it never happens that somebody asks me, hey, play me so-and-so, you know, play me this song.
Jesus. And also, I bet with the fact that you're like in that Guitar Hero kind of world, I'm sure there's like, oh, play a Stevie or play a
yeah.
Eric Johnson.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Why don't you go home and listen on your fucking radio and listen to some Ulrich Ellison and Tribe?
Fuck yeah.
Fool.
Yeah, fool.
No, I know what that's like.
Yeah. And that never happens in Europe.
Yeah.
They have far too much respect to him. It's like, you know, you go in a church and tell the preacher, hey, read me Matthew 3:7. Yeah. I need that right now.
I don't
want to
hear John right now. Yeah. Throw some Matthew 3:7. Well, people, it seems like people would do that here. And I don't mean anything bad. I mean, I live here. I'm American. I do the thing. But I play in that cover band Skyrocket.
Yeah.
And I have the unfortunate job of being like the seated keyboard player. So there's a lot of people that just come up and like, they figure I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting there.
Yeah.
So, and they can't, I can't get away from them. So they like come up and like, just in the middle of a song, hey, Bob, you did this, man. And you're like, I'd like to go where they work and like yell at them while they're
exactly.
on the phone making a sale or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, man, tell them that I set up, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, but that doesn't happen there.
Not at all. Not at all. And also, in Poland, I've never played in Eastern Europe before, and it was really very touching to see, you know, despite they could barely speak English, some of them spoke a little German, but they were just so, they wanted to give something back. You could really tell they were like touching us, you know, shaking us and like, super, super. And they were so happy.
Yeah.
And they were thanking us, you know, this one woman thanked us that we would play a small venue like that. And it was a really nice jazz club that we played. And she was like, you know, yeah, usually, you know, you should play a stage like Carlos Santana and blah, blah, blah. And thank you for coming to our little town.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool. But you have that sound and look. It's not like you seem like a guy that.
Yeah, but nobody
would
ever
be
said
at a
that
festival
here
on
in Austin,
top of a mountain,
you know?
Playing guitar in the
well,
wind
thank
or
you.
Something. Yeah,
thanks a lot. But you know, nobody would say that here, or just that. They're just so honest, heartfelt. I think here it's more about, you know, when somebody will like your music, say, "Oh, you guys sound pretty good," you know, or, "Oh,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
you sound great."
Yeah,
you sound great. But over there, they're thank you.
Yeah, you just made my night.
For being part of their life, you
yeah.
know. Or the promoter would come up and shake your hand, say, congratulations. You know?
Yeah.
I've never had that happen here.
No, I think that's
Can
great.
You imagine?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah, David Cotton.
That's David it. Cotton comes out, hey.
I feel bad for David Cotton because he's always like, not the butt of the jokes, but like, when everybody uses an example on this show about an Austin
yeah.
person that books plays, it's always David because he's like the most popular guy.
Hey, Johnny.
Yeah.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Yeah.
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 Imagine. I mean.
Huh. Do you, when you go out on tour here, do you have a booking agent? Like you're about to go out on a tour of the Midwest from June 10th through the 19th.
Yeah. I started.
You booked that yourself?
Yeah, I started booking gigs outside of Texas via Indie on the Move. It's a website.
Okay.
About when was it? 2012.
Okay.
And you know, I just had this I made this plan, like, okay, I want to go to Chicago. I want to tour to Chicago and back. And it was kind of mad, you know, nobody knew.
What's the significance to Chicago? Or just like, it's over there, it's off the top, you're going to come back, you go up there, come back down.
Yeah, well, the way
or
it happened.
Like the blues or something.
I just had this idea. I like the blues. Yeah. And, you know, I've been to Chicago before. I said, okay, I want to make something that has some kind of impact.
Yeah.
You know, like we could have gone to, I don't know, Louisiana, to New Orleans, but it wasn't far enough. So Chicago was just. And so, you know, I just contacted some clubs there. And then I would look for a club that seemed to have some kind of profile, but not too high. And I would start sending out mass emails to clubs, you know, all on the way, saying, hey, we got an anchor gig at Goose Island on blah, 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 and we're looking for some routing dates.
Yeah.
So I just made it up, you know, basically. And then the funniest thing happened. That gig that I used to, you know, to kind
of
anchor the tour without having anything, those guys gave me a gig. That place really gave me a gig.
Wow.
And it was just like, wow, you know, talking about like manifestation, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, man.
Yeah, I was just bullshitting basically, and then suddenly I get that gig. So, okay, now we really have to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
And so I had another guy that helped me. I paid him a little bit, and we sent out like 300 emails, like personalized emails, mainly over that Indie on the Move platform. And I was able to put a route together, you know, 14 days and pretty much playing every night. And that was our first tour. And I learned so much on that first tour. I mean, it was like months of painstaking work because you don't get any replies. You know, you send out 100 emails and you get maybe 10 replies if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And then maybe 3 gigs out of that.
Yeah.
So... That
makes that, gives you respect for the booking agent. It's hard to believe that people are booking agents because it just doesn't seem like it pays.
No, it's like fishing in a drought.
Yeah, it seems like it would be cool to be McCartney's booking agent.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is like fishing in a drought.
Yeah.
And it's tough because there are places that you're going to, like, say, Kentucky or in Missouri, they're having trouble keeping their doors open.
Mm-hmm.
They want to have someone local that's going to bring in people, so it's harder for them even to take a risk on somebody that's never been to, you know,
it depends.
Lexington,
you know,
or whatever.
There are these special places out there where it works when an out-of-town band comes in, and of course, you know, it helps being from Austin, so you do have some kind of leverage.
Well, it helps being from Austin if, and this is this like the difference between you and me, say if I went up there, they're like, oh, there's this pop kind of like Brit pop guy from Austin. Like, yeah, I don't think so. There's a guy with a Strat that's screaming solos. Yeah, let's get this guy in.
Well, you should have a booking agent say, hello, I'm representing Johnny Gotti. We're from the International London Calling Booking Agent.
You should have. You know what? Have you ever done, when you send it out, are you like, hey, this is Ulrich, or do you have an alias? Are you like, International Booking Agency?
I used an alias for a while, you know, and then I got tired of it. I did have some girls that were helping me, and then the girls stopped helping me, and I would still use their name. I mean, kind of.
I had a rapper guy. Well, see, my thing is like, what happens? I could see like once you get to know the person, you're like, hey, you know what? And they're like, hey, I got to talk to your booking agent. You go, hey, man, it's not. It's me. That's how I get the gig. They'd be like, oh, ha ha ha. But I busted a guy doing it to me on the show. He was like writing to me like, yeah, this guy doesn't have time to make it that day. No, he doesn't have time to make it that day. And I was like, well, that's all right. And he's like, well, what time should I be there? He wrote on one of the things. And I was like, were you using a fake manager guy with me? And he wrote back, what are you talking about? I was like, you wrote back, what time do I need to be there?
I know it because I'm doing it myself.
No, he finally came clean. It took like 3 emails. And we were like, come on, man. Just tell me.
Come on, man. I'm doing the same thing, so tell me the truth.
I've never done it.
Oh, you haven't?
No, I've always been too scared that I'm going to get busted.
Uh-huh.
I've always been too scared that in the middle of it, I'll say something like, well, we've got to, oh, no, I mean, they do. Yeah.
It really doesn't make that much of a difference.
No.
It doesn't.
No, but it feels,
it makes you more comfortable. I think that's the main thing. When you start out, you know, you think, oh, I got to do everything myself. And, you know, I don't want people to know that there's nobody around me. In the meantime, I'm actually take some pride in that, you know?
There is. And yeah. I mean, it's like a two-sided thing. There's some pride in doing things yourself, which you have done your whole career.
Check out my business card.
Oh, yeah. See? Follow your passion.
No. And then the... No. Oh. Right underneath the name.
Sorry, you're a clinician, teacher, booker, promoter, social media strategist. You are all that stuff. That's what you have to be these days.
I'm not ashamed of it anymore.
No. No, but I mean, there's two things. There's one thing is you've done it yourself the whole time. I've done it myself a lot, most of the time probably.
Mm-hmm.
I've had help from other people. But there is something kind of like, well, someone else believes in me. Like, you know what I mean? When you have someone else. It's not just me saying like, hey, I'm great. Because that is hard to say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean, it is.
Yeah.
And nowadays, how do you keep up with social media? Like when you're in Europe, are you doing it every day? Do you...
Well, you know, I do as much as I can. I'm not a real techie person. So I'm not like the guy that will schedule tweets or Facebook posts, you know, to go out on a certain time or so. I'm just doing it whenever I can, whenever my phone is charged on the tour or you have signal.
Yeah.
And I mean, Facebook is, you know, is weaker. Then, I mean, it's getting so weak, it's not even, you don't even know how many people you're reaching, really.
Oh.
I think, you know, so.
Oh, like email, it's watered down now.
Yeah, it's watered
down. Kind of diluted.
Mean, yeah. If you, I don't see your posts, you know, and I want to stay in touch with you, and I just never see anything, unless I go to your site, like, once a week.
Right.
And then you'll see my posts, too, you know.
Right.
And so I mainly rely on email and website. These days.
And so people can join the tribe that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of feedback from... I mean, I saw like in your... on your videos and stuff. Man, there's a great video of you doing Breathe.
Oh, yeah.
At the Roost.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that like a three-camera shoot or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez, man. Yeah. It looks and sounds fantastic. Yeah.
My friend Gary Feist did that. He's a local guy.
Gorgeous looking video. Great sounding video. Your harmonies are exceptional.
Oh, thanks.
Didn't you do that with Darren and those guys at that Pink Floyd concert here a few years ago?
You know, that's when I did the song. No, did I do it before? Yeah, I sang it before. But that's really when I started adding it to my own set too, after that show.
Well, just you take the solo section to some beautiful places.
Yeah.
You know, you go into some places that to me, it's what I like is like there's not like a jamming thing. Because I watched some of your live stuff today there. You jam, but you can tell that you know, like the band does certain things within the solo to bring dynamics to it as opposed to, you know what I mean? And it feels
less,
like you guys have done this before.
It's less of a jam. It's more of a storytelling thing.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, where I really want to take the listener to a special place and special intensity. And everything is just in line with that, you know, all the dynamics and the build-up.
How you're telling a story when you're singing.
Uh-huh.
You're telling a story with your lyrics.
Yeah.
And then you're also telling a story with your guitar playing.
Right, right.
Which to you is more difficult to express yourself when you're telling a story? Is it easier for you to tell a story with your guitar? Because you can do it for a long-ass time with no words.
Well, yeah, that is an advantage. You don't need words. That is an advantage. But on the other hand, it's also, you know, it needs to be a certain degree of obviousness that even the, you know, the guy that doesn't have any musical background or training just gets it, you know, what I'm doing. Because sometimes you need to be clear with the signal that you're sending.
Right.
And that's harder on an instrument. You know, there's not that many instrumentalists that really get that attention like a vocalist.
Right.
Like Jeff Beck, for example, you know.
Exactly.
He's really like talking on the guitar, singing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to achieve that. But I've been doing that for like 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And the songwriting thing, you know, that was more than a new exciting thing for me to do, or still is, in the last 3-4 years.
Right. So it's easy. You're more comfortable telling a story with your guitar.
I would say the hard thing for me would be if you put me on a stage without a guitar, and just let me sing and tell my story like that, because the guitar is my super weapon, where, you know, I fill in the spaces.
Yeah.
Sometimes I play along with my voice, or yeah, I put a counterpoint. So that's kind of like the, yeah.
Do you see yourself in that pantheon of like a Jeff Beck and Eric Johnson, Satriani?
Nah, I think I'm more on the songwriter side of things.
Now, can I ask you a question? Yeah. And this isn't being argumentative.
Yeah,
But there is a thing with guitar guys that are super awesome at guitar, going like, no, I'm a songwriter.
Uh-huh. Which,
to me, that's like Noel Gallagher. Like, when you hear him play guitar, he sounds like a guy that writes songs.
Yeah.
But not, I mean, I think your songwriting is great.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that as like, is it, do you feel that because you've done guitar for so long and songwriting, as you said, is still kind of fresh and new? Or is that really, you feel yourself as like a guy that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because like, do you see yourself in years touring around and like, oh, the guy, you know, oh, do you play guitar on other people's stuff?
I used to. I'm not anymore.
No.
Not anymore.
Did you sign a contract?
Nice. Yeah, sign a contract to the tribe.
Yeah.
No, it's a good question.
It is, because there seems to me like guys that are super awesome at guitar that would, and I'd never use the word guitar hero.
Yeah, yeah.
But people that live in that sort of world would rather be songwriters.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. For me, you know, just playing guitar, I mean, for me, really, the physical thing that turns me on, or that just physically, you know, without what I want to say or what I want to communicate, to sing and play guitar and use that and play some like counterpoint stuff and then sing and play the same thing, like that kind of schizophrenic mindset, that's what really turns me on.
Yeah.
That's like the physical thing that I enjoy the most when I play music. So to just play guitar would probably bore me a little too much.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that.
And I love it. Even, you know, let's say I play a solo and I just sing ooze on top of that. I love things like that. Arrangement ideas are so, it sounds like two people, you know. Just, I used to play with loops a lot too when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And so that turned me on so much, you know, where I play bass line and then.
So you like the whole thing, yes, like the song.
Yes.
Not just the guitar thing.
And maybe it's like that when I'm just playing guitar in a band, I'm just not having that kind of control, or, you know, where I can really put out my ideas as a whole. There's only like 50% of Ulrich, or maybe 70%.
Yeah.
Even though that might be the thing that I'm like the most masterful at.
Right.
Because I've done it like the longest. But it still doesn't make me feel a whole.
Right.
As an artist.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's healthy. When you are, when you go in to record, how much input, like when you were doing this record, Dream Chaser, and you're in your rehearsal room and you're cutting 17 songs in 2 days with people, how much input do you take from other people? And it's obvious it's produced by you. You mm-hmm. wrote the songs yourself. Do people come up with their own parts and stuff? Or
usually it's pretty well prepared.
I have demos.
I have some lead sheets sometimes. Sometimes some written out lines, you know, if it's more complicated or so. But then as soon as I give people that, as soon as I have the feeling that they really learned that material and really went inside that material, I want them to make the decisions 100% pretty much. I mean, I will give a suggestion when I'm hearing something in particular. Or so, you know, but
you want what they can bring to the table creatively as well. Yeah, that's good.
And then also, you know, there's always, so far on my records, there was always 3-4 tracks that were just fragments. Sometimes even just like two riffs.
Right.
That we just go back and forth at. And because I really feel if everything is mapped out, if the whole record is just like mapped out. And so that's not capturing
the tribe,
the tribe or the vibe too. You know, there needs to be, it's a very different energy if you're jamming on something for the first time. And so on this new record, there's at least three songs that were, didn't have lyrics, you know, and it was just like A being parts, and let's go to the bridge in the studio.
Right.
And then later on, I wrote the melody and the lyrics on top of that.
That's awesome.
And then, I think that's very important. To me, it's very important to have that spontaneous energy on the record too.
Yeah. Yeah. How much rehearsing do you guys do? Like when you're not on the road?
When we're not, we usually don't rehearse or so, you know.
It's weird because you sound like you guys play like you rehearse, or is it just because you play a bunch of gigs?
We play a bunch of gigs for sure, yeah. But we do like production rehearsals basically. When I want to do a new song live, usually three or four package, we just rehearse like three, four times. And really get that stuff down, like you would rehearse for a big show.
Yeah.
And then I'll try to have some gigs lined up after that.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll discuss some details, you know, and do that at a sound check or so. If we need another rehearsal, we do one more rehearsal. But I really believe into rehearsing with a purpose and with a, you know, you always should have a goal. I couldn't like rehearse just like twice a week. Just like, every Monday, every Tuesday we were rehearsing.
Right.
I think it loses the spontaneity. Makes you lose the interest in it.
And when you play live, it's drums, bass, you and keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so the keyboards are not always, you know, a keyboardist has a day job. So especially if you do like out of town gigs in Texas and bar gigs, we just play as a trio.
And also, it's easier to make money that way. People need to remember that, like, it's not easy, you know. And it's good to go out and see music, because if you don't go out and see it, it's tough for people to buy the records. There's so many ways for them not to have to now to hear the music, you know, like, and ways for you not to get paid for that. They need to come out and see the music. If they like someone like you, they need to come out and see you. And also, there's something that you're giving them live. It's not just the record.
Right.
Although you guys are as good and as tight, but you're taking the songs different places live. Am I wrong?
Well, people always say so far, you know, said, well, you know, I heard the record, I liked it. But what I just saw, you know, that's like a whole another dimension. I mean, they're almost like these people that might almost not come because they listen to the record. They just like it enough to come to the show and then they were completely blown away.
Yeah.
So I'm actually still trying to figure out
how to do that.
How to capture the live energy or what we do.
I've never been able to do that either.
How can you capture that on
the record? I don't know. I've been in a couple of bands that are really amazing live bands that when we make records and people have come and seen us, they're just always like, it's all right.
But you
sounds
know,
good.
Is it like, are they trying to tell me my record sucks?
No, not at all. It's that there's something electrifying and exciting that's happening when they're in the room with you, because a lot of times, you've said you're not jamming, but there are times when you're playing and you're taking things to different places.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, I think that rock and roll, it needs to be seen. Like, you need to be in the room with the people making it sometimes to really get that hair on your arm to stand up.
Yeah.
You know, you get the volume, you get the full breadth of what these people are presenting, and you're in the room with them making it while they're making it.
You know, that's an interesting...
There's magic happening.
There's an interesting thing generally. What's the purpose of music? You know, what's really happening when you listen to something, or... You know, what's happening when you put on a CD at home? You know, it's probably, you got a little time off, you want to relax, or how much time do we have to really listen to a recording at home?
Right.
You know, it's usually we're doing something else, and it's just...
And you can turn it down, and the lights are on. I mean, when you go see someone play, the lights are off, and you're seeing them, and the volume is so loud.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you can't hear the jackass behind you.
Hopefully, you don't have your iPhone in your hand.
Phone out.
You,
yeah. Hey, how is that in Europe? Are there a lot of phone people?
No.
But at the same time, you know what I mean? In the world of social media and promotion, you need people
that's
to take
bullshit.
Those pictures.
I think that's bullshit.
You don't think so?
You don't need people.
I think the videos are terrible because they all sound like shit.
Yeah, they all
Everyone's videos sound like shit from their phone, especially like when they're right up in front of you. Yeah. And you're just like, they're filming it. You're like, God, this is just like.
No, you know, if you kind of get in a mode where you have the feeling that you always need your phone. You always need to document what you're doing, blah, blah, blah. And my phone was left in Austria. So for two and a half weeks, I've been without a phone. And I'm not
sure. What is that like now in 2015 to be
two weeks
without a phone?
It works pretty well. I mean, the people that really want to get a hold of me, they find me.
I found you. You found it here. You made it.
Yeah,
everything's okay. You were on time.
Yeah. I mean, without a computer, it would be probably maybe impossible, you know, these days. But to have that immediate thing, you know, you can check your email later before you go to bed. You don't have to always be in it. You know, you're not missing out on anything. Just focus on the moment for a change.
Yeah.
And I think music can still do that, or we should let music do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to say one more thing about the live show thing, because I do believe that music has something like a healing quality.
Yeah.
Where just stuff happens that you're not aware of. And live music, or that's like, that's the one that it's like going to a service, you know, you go to church to repair your mental state or so in the ideal case, or they just take your money. But.
Yeah.
But, you know, music can do the same thing, I think.
And it's part of the celebration of being alive. Like, you look in every culture throughout history, even in Star Wars, you know, when they go back to the Ewok thing at the end of the thing, they're all celebrating and like there's music playing and they're dancing and they're, you know.
Imagine a party without music. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the tribe gets together.
Yeah.
And rejoices, you know.
And, you know, in that function of the music, it's almost when you're in the music business, or, you know, you're trying to make a living as a musician and you just see what bands are popular or so, it seems sometimes that gets lost, where, you know, one purpose of the music is also the whole mating game. Which just you go somewhere because you know the hot chicks are gonna be there, or you know the guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when it gets to that level, where it's just like some kind of event, you know, nobody gives a shit about the music or the content
of the music.
But it's just it's dark and you can, you know, make out and stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of the music nowadays, you know, when you look what's played, so what's popular is reduced to that level, I think.
I think
the healing quality kind of, you know, disappeared or was left out.
Do you worry? Or do you think it's cyclical? Like,
no.
You know what I mean? And that there was a disco time in the
70s. Yeah, no, I don't think it's cyclical. I think it's some things won't come back, you know. But I think for me, I want to focus on relationships, like, one-on-one relationships and create real synapses, you know, like tribal bonds all over the world. That's the cool thing nowadays. You can travel easily. People can stay in touch with you very easily.
Yeah.
So, you know, who says that we can't go to Poland once a year and just build up this Polish tribe?
Yeah.
And share and, you know, and give them a window into Austin, Texas, where, you know, they learn the culture of how we are living here and stuff. And so you could have a tribe, a global tribe, basically.
Right.
And then if you work that, you know, I'm just imagining I'm keep doing that for the next 10, 15 years. And then at some point you just have 150 or 200 little tribe villages all over the world. And you... Every year you just go out and visit all those.
That's how you do it, man.
Yeah.
That's how you build a career.
Yeah, yeah.
How many up when you go up in the Midwest in a couple weeks? How is this your? How many times have you gone up there since your initial trip to Chicago?
We've done about 8 or 9 of those tours.
No shit.
Yeah, we're doing all every 3 months.
Oh, that's dude. That's great. So yeah. You have tribes in these cities.
See, my idea, that was my concept. Yeah, that's what I wanted to do.
Well, that's the only way to do it.
The only problem here in the U.S. is that it doesn't really, it doesn't stick as well. It doesn't, there's no real, I don't see it going up like in Europe. You know, I don't see like, okay, now I've been there 3-4 times and now we've doubled the crowd.
And you've done it twice as many times here.
Yeah.
And you haven't.
And it's kind of hit or miss. You know, we have one show where it's just a good day. And
well, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. But the same thing in Europe. You know, it's not like true. People don't have
like
jobs.
Nothing going on in Europe.
It's just a different priority or a different... It's just there's very few towns here in the U.S. where I have a similar feeling. Where it's like, okay, we got a little tribe.
And what's one of the towns that you feel like...
Owensboro, Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, people, if you're listening to that.
The people of Owensburg, Kentucky, yeah. You never know. You never know who's listening to this.
I mean, who would think that in Owensburg, Kentucky, you'd have like a real tribe, you know? Like people that really, they're just hungry for music.
I think a lot of times people overlook that stuff because to me, some of the Midwest towns, some of the East Coast, but in the middle, kind of Carolinas mm-hmm. and Virginias and stuff like that, Georgia. Those places have great fans, great rock and roll fans. They uh-huh. come out for bands.
Uh-huh.
And they get excited about a band, and they follow that band.
Yeah,
and that's obviously what's happening for you in Owensboro.
Yeah.
So you're gonna be let me run this down. You're gonna be doing this. This is the release for Dream Chaser. Your tour of the Midwest on. June 10th, you'll be at Nathan P. Murphy's.
Mm-hmm. June 9th, we're playing at...
No date on there.
No? Lincoln, I mean, Nebraska.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Love Lincoln. What's the place in Lincoln?
The Sioux Bar.
Okay. The Sioux, like S-I-O-U-X?
No. Like the animal Sioux.
Sioux.
Like where the giraffes and elephants are.
So the Sioux Bar on the 9th, and then Springfield, Missouri on the 10th. Rumors Sports Bar in St. Charles on the 11th. On the 12th, you'll be at BB's Jazz and Soups in St. Louis. The 13th, Monkeys in Owensboro, Kentucky. Do you always play the same place?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so they know you there. There's people coming. What's the house concert? Is that in Owensboro?
That's our friend Ben Sciadas. He's a really cool guy. We met him on our second or maybe the first tour even. And he just did this house concert, real short notice.
Yeah.
And it ended up being really an awesome surprise, you know?
Yeah.
It was just happening. And then we've been going back there. And whenever he's around, he goes to some music festivals and stuff. Sometimes he's just not here, but we usually make a stop and play a house
and
concert.
And those house concerts, man, they can, especially like an impromptu one, like, hey, these guys are in town.
Yeah.
Like, these guys trust your friend.
Yeah,
his friends. All right, well, we'll go check this out, and then they come and see you. They know you gotta make some money to get to Chicago and then back to Austin.
Right.
And they're all there. They kind of have a connection, of a connect. They'll throw some more extra dough in there, and those kind of things can boost. So that's like your only day off on that tour.
Yeah.
And you're still playing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then the other thing is that we have a show the day before in the same town. So you know, probably 75% of the house concert.
People will
come to the show, and then but maybe some additional people will come to the house concert.
Sure, you're going
to
do different sets? Change it up a little bit?
Yeah, it's a little bit more of an acoustic kind of thing.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
But just generally, it's more intimate. You have more time to talk, and so it's just this different angle. Like, you know, the show with the lights and the smoke and everything. Cool, you know, and him jumping on the bar and stuff.
That weird Austrian guitar.
Yeah. And then you have the more intimate house concert where we're just sitting on the couch and talking, and also they've seen us, you know, we've been there now almost on every tour. They've really seen the progress. I think that's very important
I think they're gonna like Joel.
Yeah, they're gonna, yeah,
fans are gonna latch
but,
on
you know
Joel.
Generally with the tribe, I think that's an important thing that we really have made pretty a well-paced progress.
That's good.
And I think that's what, when you have a tribe or some a community like that, that's maybe the most important thing that people want to see. You know, if I'm following some musical artist and he bugs me all the time about, you know, what he's doing, maybe what he needs money for,
right,
and shows he's doing and blah, 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 there needs to be, I mean, some substantial growth.
Yeah.
Something needs to happen. Something you can get excited about. Like, you know, we go to Europe and the tour is twice as big as last year.
Yeah.
You want to be part of the winning team somehow.
Yeah.
Hey, so if you're out there in Owensboro and you go to the house concert, go to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Let me know you were there. Post a picture. So then on the 15th, the day after the house concert, you will be at the Oklahoma Jazz Hall.
You should come with us. You should come with us to the house concert.
I should.
Yeah, they're being into Britpop stuff.
Why did I say I was Britpop? Am I Britpop?
Yeah, that's what you said earlier.
I think
earlier.
That's what I am. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, in Oklahoma City, great town. You're going to be playing at the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame. That'll be fun.
That's a really cool gig. You know, last year we played there, and there was one lady there who invited us to play a house concert, but she was from Europe. so we just played her house.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh,
in
awesome.
Rostock. And it was, you never know what happens, you know. And this house was an incredible. It was a mansion in northern Germany. It was huge. I mean, she had the hall.
Yeah.
And she put chairs out. There was a full production stage. I mean, it was not what you think of a house concert. Yeah. It was a full-blown show.
But, you know, there's a cool thing about that tribe element, and I'm not even really thinking about it in terms of my own thing, but it just flashed in my head. That when you go, not only do those people become part of your tribe, but then there's your tribe outside of you. Does that make sense? Like that band Skyrocket that I'm in?
Yeah.
There's these two ladies that, like, travel together and come see us out of town. They get a hotel and they have a great time.
Yeah.
And, they're married and stuff. And I didn't even know. And I was like, how long have you guys been friends? She's like, just a couple years. We met at one of your shows. And I was like, so you guys have, like, this whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's part of our tribe.
Yeah.
But you're not, we don't stay at the hotel, but it's all like, it's all like you can make new friends.
It does work like that. I mean, we have people getting married in our tribe. Yeah.
That's unbelievable, man. And that's
also,
so cool.
And also, you know, we have guys like from Austin that following the tour, and then I hear that they're Facebook messaging the guy in Germany and asking me could I have that picture that you made? You know, I want to print it out. Do you mind if I print it out and have the band sign it and stuff like that? So it's like, cultural.
Yeah. And you know what else? Like with the uniqueness of each of your shows and stuff, it'd probably be cool if you could record your shows. I bet people would be into trading tribe shows.
Yeah. You know, I still have the
Grateful
idea.
Grateful Dead style.
Yeah. You know, there's the patronism platform. I think we talked about that on last.
Yes. Show. Are you on this?
I'm on it. And it would be the ideal platform for like live recordings.
Yeah.
And stuff. It's just I would need somebody to run it. You know, it's just so much.
That's a whole other business unto itself. You know, Bob Schneider does a great job at it, but he doesn't have anything to do with it except for the stuff that he's singing and playing.
There you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody else is literally handing every other aspect of it.
Hopefully, at some point, you know, it will be possible to do that.
Yeah. So then the day after Oklahoma City, I'm just going through this. I like that we go through the dates and have an aside.
Awesome.
On the 16th, you will be at Bear's Den Pizza in Conway, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And then winding it all up here in Austin on 6/19, my sister Nicole's birthday.
Yes.
At the ABGB in Austin,
Is she going to be there?
She lives in Miami, rarely comes here.
Oh, okay.
But when she does, she complains a lot.
You know, we've played in Florida before.
You have?
Yeah.
I don't think, you don't seem like a Miami band.
No, we haven't gone that far.
Where'd you play?
We played in Tampa and in close to Orlando.
Cool. I'm playing in Orlando, I think, in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm excited about it.
With your own band? Or?
No, with Skyrocket.
Oh, okay.
You know, have you ever been in a cover band?
Why
did I say that?
I've played weddings and stuff, you know,
and you have to learn.
But not like, I mean, is Skyrocket like a real cover band, or are you a band playing covers?
Dude, we are. I see what you mean because we're all individual artists on our own.
Yeah.
No, we bring a great performance to it, but we learn the songs pretty much note for note.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And try and do it like that, and then you know if they're not as cool, you know. We give it what it needs, but we start with what the people did originally.
Mm-hmm.
Because Darren can really do that. I don't know if you got into that when you were doing that Pink Floyd thing.
We spent some time together, yeah.
He's a good, he has an amazing ear
mm-hmm.
like that. Do you hear stuff like that when you hear when you hear, say, like a Beach Boys harmony, can you go through and pick out all the notes that make that harmony?
Yeah.
God, you're a bastard.
Well, we just learned that in the conservatory in Austria.
Well, you learned it in conservatory. Yeah. He learned it in a weird, I don't know.
Yeah.
He just learned it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what do you think of all these platforms? Are people in Europe using Spotify and stuff like that? Is that there? Are you? What do you think about that? Do you like to sell your CDs to people physically? What's going on?
Well, in Europe, Spotify and that stuff, it's not as common as here.
Right.
And generally, I think it. There's a plus and a minus. In my particular situation, like if I think of the tribe and everything, those are not the kind of customers, and I'm saying customers on purpose, that, you know, I see becoming part of a tribe. It takes a little more to be a tribe member.
I like that you want to have people get involved, man.
Yeah. I want to have them, have some heart, and it's just a little too easy, you know, the whole Spotify thing and all that. And I like YouTube a lot for, you know, people want to check out.
Oh, by the way. Great video for Feeling So Lonely.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was shot on January 1st when everybody was hungover and it was raining. You know, I thought, let's go to downtown Austin where nobody's there.
Yeah.
And
Did that?
Gary Feist again. Right. He's like my guy.
That guy's a guy.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's awesome.
Does he hire himself out for that kind of stuff? Is that what he does?
Yeah.
And how do people find him? Let's give him a plug.
Yeah.
Gary, you're doing great work.
Gary Feist at Yellow Dog Video.
Okay. Gary Feist at Yellow Dog Video. Yeah. Look it up. Google it. See what you got to do. I'm going to check him out too. He's done some stuff for other people.
And he, you know, he's a bass player.
Oh, really?
So he just naturally follows the music the right way.
Right. He cuts to the...
Yeah. Well, I do most of the editing.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. But you know, I've been working with him for 3 years now.
Doesn't mind? He's a good team. He's like, I'll shoot it. You edit it. Because you get the feeling of what you're doing.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, yeah. He's actually happy about it. He does so much stuff. You know, he doesn't have to do it.
So did you edit that 3-camera shoot from the roost? I'm fascinated by that shoot.
Yes.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Wow, you're great.
Oh, thank you.
I
also mixed the audio.
You did?
Yeah.
You're really fantastic. Do you produce other people?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And that's, you know, the production, that's something I really enjoy, if I enjoy the music, of course. But it's that's like if I broke my finger or, you know, don't want to say anything worse than that. Yeah. I would gladly be a producer. You know, where it just brings a lot of joy to me. And that just designing and coming up with new sounds and creating something that hasn't been here before, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You use GHS strings?
Mm-hmm. I endorse them and, you know,
yeah,
go to the NAMM show and stuff like that.
What about that guitar guy? Did he give you that guitar? That was during guitar.
it's like a loan, you know. It's like,
oh, so it's okay.
Yeah, I don't own it, but I don't even want to own it. I'm just playing it. It's like with a violinist, you know, they just give away this violin for a few years.
Yeah,
as long as you're worthy. And
what about pedals? Are you got a crazy pedal board? Is it always changing?
It has gotten smaller and smaller.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at you.
And you know, it's. I have a hand-wired amp that a guy here in Austin built.
Who?
John Grammatico.
Let's give him a shout-out.
Yeah.
John Grammatico.
Yeah. And then I'm playing Austin Speakerworks cabinets. But it's very little that I need. And the stuff...
Do people come to you and go like, hey, Ulrich, I want you to try out this cab I've just made because you're amazing?
Well, yeah. I mean... Not like every week or so, but,
no, but
once in a blue moon, yeah. But there's enough great guitar players. They don't have to look for me, you know?
Yeah.
It's more if somebody comes to your show or so and sees you and then he gets ideas or so. And you know, I'm really into sonic textures and textural stuff, you know, between the bow and the looping and swells, you know. I love to use...
Volume. Not going to get rid of the volume pedal. That's a classic.
I'm not using a pedal. I'm just doing it with... Volume knob.
Damn. I hate the real guitar players.
No, I just love
I use 4 different distortion pedals. And people are like, why don't you just turn your fucking amp up and use the volume and use real distortion? I'm like, what? Yeah. I have four distortion pedals.
Hey, let's meet outside of this. Yeah.
So let's get to business here.
Yeah.
People can find this record, Dream Chaser, at ulrichellison.com. They can find you also on Facebook, Ulrich Ellison Music. You are also on Twitter. You can go on to YouTube and see a lot of great videos, including the one for Feeling So Lonely, which is the song off your record. Did you use the record at Waterloo?
No, you know what? You can only get the record in our Trap store. And that's not because I'm lazy, son, because, you know, I want people to come to the website. I want them
you
to
really
explore.
Are building a tribe. You're not yeah. fucking around.
No, no. Okay. I mean, why should I put stuff on CD Baby where people, you know, they're not finding stuff by accident these days. You know, it's not like the internet, just this 3 billion customers that are looking for Johnny Gaudi. You know, it's your people. They're looking for your stuff. Okay, then.
Come to the tribe store.
Come to the organic, local organic store.
Yeah.
And get it right there, you know. And
get it from Ulrich.
Yeah.
Make a connection.
Make a connection, no overhead, you know, it goes directly, proceeds go directly into more music.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I wish you a lot of luck. Is there anything that I'm missing? Sabina's doing well.
She's doing well.
Good. She's going to get ready for this big American tour.
Yeah, there's one thing. We're part of a contest right now. From.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, you saw
explain
that?
Explain it.
Stinson Studio, you know, and was it the Austin Recording Academy?
Uh-huh.
They're doing this contest every year. I've observed it, and this year we got selected as one of the 25 top unsigned artists. And they're doing a great thing where first it's a public voting where the fans can vote for their favorite artists, and then they making videos in the studio of, like, I think the top four artists.
Oh, cool.
And then that's going to be on YouTube, and based on the numbers, and I think also like a jury that, you know.
Of your peers.
Yes, VIP jury. They decide the winner, and then the winner gets 100 hours of free studio time plus $3,000.
Oh, you get to work with Tim Palmer.
Yes.
That's what I say. He's my buddy. I love that
Oh,
guy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I just want to meet him, you know.
I've never met him?
No.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I have a other really good friend. A mutual friend, and we all just went to dinner like a month ago. He is loaded with great stories.
Well,
super cool
if
guy.
If we don't win, which I hope we will.
Tim, but if you're listening to this episode.
Then Ulrich wants to meet you nevertheless.
Yeah. I've gotten that from some. I have another friend that was like, I want to meet that guy. And I was like, okay, this is weird. But I wrote him and I was like, hey, my friend wants to meet you and talk to you about the solo Robert Plant records. And he was like, sure, give him my email address.
Well, I wouldn't bug him with stuff like that. Yeah. You know, if anything, we might just record something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's a great engineer, great mixing guy.
I love contests like that where it's not only about, you know, who's the best, but it's really, I feel it's a community building contest. Yeah. It's local.
That one is, yeah, yeah.
And you really learn something that you didn't know before.
Right. And people can find that on your Facebook page, Ulrich Ellison
yeah.
Music.
Exactly.
Just get in there, like the page, get involved.
Yes.
That's what you're saying. Go to the website, become a member of the tribe.
Join the tribe.
Join the tribe.
Anybody can join the tribe.
Anybody yeah. can.
Can be 6 years old, you can be 96.
Yeah. I'll tell my grandma about it. She's 92.
We it's have a lot of older fans. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just like us for a reason.
Because you're great, and they have taste.
There you go.
Thank you for being on the show again, and it's great to have you. It's great to hang out and catch up a little bit. I'm glad that you had a great trip to Europe, and I wish you great success on this American tour. I know you have a show this weekend is your record release at the Roost, since this show won't be coming out, I'll mention it on the intro of Friday's show.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be sure to do that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you're there, get to the Roost. What time are you guys playing?
8:00.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, early show.
Yeah.
Do you, so you don't keep the tribe out too late?
No, you know, most people work, so it just turned out that early is better for us.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, Ulrich. Well, thank you so much. Everyone get out there. UlrichEllison.com. or go to Ulrich Ellison Music on Facebook. Get involved. Pick up Dream Chaser at the Tribe Store.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, buddy.
Me.
Ulrich Ellison, his band Ulrich Ellison and Tribe will be on tour in the Midwest starting now, man. Starting in June, June 10th. They will be in Springfield, Missouri. So look them up, ulrichellison.com. Their album Dream Chaser is out. Thank you for coming by, Ulrich. I want to thank Alex and Jen from the Austin Music Foundation for stopping by. Don't forget, if you're a music-oriented business or you're a band, go check them out. They're a fantastic resource for you to get all your stuff on. All right. So while you're out there doing the net, checking out Austin Music Foundation and checking out Ulrich Ellison, don't forget you can like our Facebook page and you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher. Hey, my phone's ringing, so that means I must gotta go. Let's hear some more Ulrich Ellison and Tribe. Let's get down.